Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hi, Laura. Welcome to Retro Next Podcast.
Laura, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me again.
So happy to have you here. Tell us what you've been up to.
I've had a crazy year. My debut novel came out exactly a year ago, March 1st of 2022. And it's a middle grade book. So that's a story that's geared towards 8 to 12 year olds, give or take, depending on reading level. And it's called Crossing the Pressure Line. And it's a book that's perfect for kids who love animals, the outdoors, dogs, fishing, swimming, art, books, and setting really big, bold goals for themselves. So it came out like 12 days before I turned 48 years old. So I'm here to tell you that dreams do come true. And midlife is also the best. Don't let anyone tell you differently. But it's been a busy year, kind of pounding the pavement and getting out there and having author appearances and doing podcasts and all sorts of amazing things that are kicking me out of my comfort zone in a huge way. But I'm just saying yes to all of it and embracing it all.
I love it. I love the fact that we're saying yes to bigger, new challenges, new things, putting ourselves out there. And that midlife is not something to be dreading. Like, I know, like, there's an article about millennials hitting midlife and not having a midlife crisis. And it's like, actually, I'm pretty comfortable. I'm like 41. I'm turning 42 this year. And I'm like, it's like actually a pretty good space to be.
It is. And I would actually argue, I think in a lot of ways, I don't know how you feel, but I feel like my 40s have been better than my 30s, and I feel like my 30s were better than my 20s. I feel like with each year that you go through, you dig deeper into who you are and what makes you tick and what fills your soul, and there's like less apology. Like, I'm not going to apologize for what brings me joy anymore, and yeah, it's great. It's great. Yeah,
it's great. Oh, I love this. All right, so we're going to chat some literary fiction, but great for romance lovers. So it's a bridge to our romance lovers who might be intimidated with literary fiction or may just think about like, oh my gosh, what am I getting myself into? And so books have heart, these books have stories that are engaging that will get you going for it. So Laura, tell us about this particular trope or genre.
Well, I love that you had me onto this podcast, and I love that your listeners primarily love romance. And of course, I'm like the literary fiction lover. So in coming to you today, I really wanted to talk about literary fiction that's approachable and not scary, like stories that you can really sink your teeth into that feature women as main characters who are really unforgettable and relatable and heartbroken and strong and passionate. Like, they're all those components of the story, which I think lovers of romance will really enjoy. So I think maybe one of the differences is that I think in literary fiction, you probably have to work a little bit harder to get to that happy ending. Do you know what I'm saying? A happy ending, like in quotation marks, because not every book has a happy ending. I get that. But these books that I'm going to talk about today are all like deeply satisfying and rewarding for readers. And so I think there is a lot of common ground then between like these literary fiction books and the romance novels that your listeners love to read. So I hope that they can see that bridge between these two genres.
Yeah. And I think in some ways we're moving away, like even though romance has a formula and then needs to end in a happy ending, we've seen a lot of like resurgence of rom-droms, a lot of triggers, a lot of like representation. A lot of people from different walks of life experiencing this experience. So romance is definitely the plot is romantic. It has to be love story. It has to be the number one plot, and there needs to be a happily ever after. But we're seeing rom-coms and rom-droms that are actually giving you a more overall picture, holistic point of view of the character. We're seeing strong female protagonists, main character energy in it. And so we're seeing that they have to work hard to get to that place too.
Oh, I love that. Like everything you're saying too is also what I'm talking about today, because you're right. Like in terms of representation, like the heroines of the novels I'm going to talk about today really represent quite a diverse everything, actually. And I think that's great that romance is also following suit, that more people can see themselves represented in the stories. I think that's essential.
Yeah. So let's get to the book recommendations. Okay. Where do you want to start? Okay.
Let's start. Okay. The first book I want to talk about is All This Could Be Different by Sarah Thankum Matthews. So it's hard for me to believe that this is Matthew's debut novel, because she writes with like incredible assurance and grace. And this novel was a finalist for the 2022 National Book Award. So that's saying something, right? I mean, this woman is like, I think, in her mid-20s, and she has quite a spectacular career ahead of her. And so All This Could Be Different is an examination of life in your early 20s, when everything is like hard and heady and exhilarating, and you feel like your life is stretching in front of you endlessly and indefinitely, for better or for worse, if that makes any sense. I distinctly remember feeling like that when I was in my early 20s. So Matthews herself is a gay woman of Indian descent, and her main character, Sneha, is also. So Sneha is basically a train wreck waiting to happen. I'm not giving any spoilers away, but you know right when you start the book, like, oh, poor Sneha. She's just gotten out of college and she's moved to Milwaukee for her first job. And I'm actually born and raised in Milwaukee, and so I loved seeing the landscape through Matthew's eyes. Sneha has also just come out of the closet. She has a crappy landlord, a crappy boss. She had no car. She hardly has any money. And she is desperate for connection and romance. And yes, sex. So what could go wrong, right? The story is like, it's full of such heartache, but it also has like these lush sensory details. And so as you read it, you feel like you're walking down the street with her. You feel like you're sitting in a trendy bar with her, sipping like a craft cocktail. I mean, you can just hear it and feel it and taste it and smell it. So I don't want to give anything away about whether or not Sneha finds love, but she does go on some dating apps. So she has an abundance of interesting moments. But I will say, above all, this book is such a tribute to love of friends, like friendship and the people who hold us together when we might otherwise fall into a million pieces. So Sneha really has this amazing crew of friends around her, and I was devastated to say goodbye to them at the end of the book. Like, it's such a rewarding read, and it really took my breath away.
Oh my gosh, I need to add this one to the TBR, because I remember my 20s to be such a hot mess. And so we thought we knew better. But our life, like, we're not earning enough money. We're living in crappy apartments. Our friendships can be said, like, some are good, some of them are like not so good. Our dating life can be a mess. So
it brought it all back to me. I mean, I'm a long ways away from that time in my life, but this book is just so tender, and it reminded me of that chapter in my life. And it's a great book. I can see why it won why it was a finalist for the National Book Award. So enjoy when you finally read it.
Yeah. All right, so what's the next recommendation?
The next one is called Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin. And this is Zevin's fifth novel for adult readers. And it's gotten so much hype and so much praise. And I can tell you that it is completely justified. Like, this book might look big when you pick it up. It is. It's sort of like a sprawling epic. But it's so intimate. And like, the minute you start it, you're sucked in. So it's about these two best friends, Sadie and Sam, and they meet as little kids in a hospital in Los Angeles under very traumatic circumstances. But then they reconnect later when they're in college in Boston. And again, I'm not really giving any spoilers here, but they love each other more than like anyone on earth. And it's a platonic love, but it will really touch you the way that they look out for each other and the way that they embrace each other in their lives. So long story short, the two of them, Sam and Sadie, after they graduate from college, they decide to go into business together developing video games, which sounds like a total stretch, but I can assure you that you need to know nothing about video games for this book. I certainly know nothing about video games, and I was like totally entranced by this story because they're creative and they're brilliant. And their story, Tomorrow and Tomorrow, is like this soulful, generous, very affecting look at a companionship between two people. So it's like, it's kind of like a romance, but it's not, because as I said, they're platonic. But you get everything out of their relationship that you would from a romantic relationship, except for the sex, of course. Like, they have arguments, miscommunications, forgiveness, affection. And frankly, I cried numerous times while reading this book about their journey together. So I just absolutely loved this book. And bonus points, if you love Shakespeare or Emily Dickinson or The Oregon Trail, because all of those things are woven, like threads that are woven through the book. And I know that sounds totally eclectic, and it is, and it's fabulous, and it works. And I loved this book.
I'm adding this book for sure. I read Gabrielle Simmons' other book, the Monica Lewinsky one.
Yes, Young Jane Young.
Young Jane Young. That was a good one.
So good. So good. She is such a, her writing is just, it's brilliant, and it's so warm, and the way it pulls you in, she's really a force to be reckoned with.
She is. Adding this for the queue for sure.
The Marriage Portrait by Maggie O'Farrell. So I am a sucker for this devastatingly good Irish writer. So you might recognize her name because she wrote Hamnet, which is a novel. It came out maybe two, three years ago. And it's about the son of Shakespeare who died as a child and inspired the play Hamlet. And she won international acclaim for Hamnet. So if anyone recognizes her name, it's probably because of that book. But The Marriage Portrait is her newest novel. And much like she did with Hamnet, she wrecked me, like, with this book. It's historical literary fiction, and it's the story of a real life person named Lucrezia. And Lucrezia was the daughter of the Duke of Florence in Italy, circa like 1550. So we're going back a number of years. And Lucrezia is watchful and artistic and smart. And these are qualities that will presumably serve her well when she is married off by her parents as a very young teenager to a man who in real life may or may not have had like borderline personality disorder. He was pretty messed up. So history tells us that this man, Lucrezia's husband, in real life, killed her within a year of their wedding. So you're probably wondering, why in the world should I read this book, right? Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, you should read this book because it is gorgeous and sumptuous, and it's rich with sensory, sexy detail. And because O'Farrell will keep you on your toes until the very last page and even after the book ends. So yes, there is some distinct romance in The Marriage Portrait. But again, this is another book that like looks at deep, abiding friendship, like especially between women, because there's a woman character that Lucrezia looks to repeatedly during this story for support and understanding and even joy. And I also think it's about the relationship that Lucrezia has with herself, discovering how brave and strong she is. And I will also say that the ending is unbelievable. Like, it's such a good book. So, loved it. It will suck you right in, and it's unforgettable.
I'm adding this one too. Like, you're giving me actual recommendations. I'm actually adding. I did read I Am, which is Maggie O'Farrell's But Death.
There it goes. Memoir, which I thought was so good.
It was so good. I was like, you could never, like, how many lives she has? So,
it's amazing. She does play, like, not only in that memoir, but kind of in all the fiction I've read by her, she plays with, like, that sort of that contrast between, like, death and life and,
yeah,
and bridging that. And she does it so beautifully. It's never morbid. It's just really done with such a light touch. And it's really exquisite. Yeah. Okay, now I'm going to switch gears totally. And I am going to recommend a book called The Sentence by Louise Erdrich. So Louise Erdrich is amazing. She portrays Indigenous women in the upper Midwest in contemporary times. That's what a number of her books focus on. And I think she's brilliant and I love her storytelling abilities. So her latest novel is called The Sentence. And it centers on a woman named Tookie, who, after being released from prison, gets a job selling books in a little independent bookstore, inspired by Louise Erdrich's own real-life Birchbark Books in Minneapolis. And incidentally, on a side note, I was able to visit Birchbark Books last summer when I was in Minneapolis, and I sort of lost my mind. Like, I fangirled all over the place. Louise Erdrich's daughter, one of her daughters, was working at the register, and like, I found myself getting like sweaty and hot, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm like fucking Louise Erdrich's daughter. Anyway, back to Tookie's story. So Tookie's journey here in The Sentence is both whimsical and sort of like deadly serious, and I'll explain why. So Erdrich began writing The Sentence on All Souls Day in 2019, and she envisioned writing herself through the actual year and ending the story on All Souls Day 2020. However, we all know how that particular year went down, right? Not just COVID, but also the killing of George Floyd and the protests that happened in Erdrich's own city of Minneapolis. So Erdrich, interestingly, was writing like in real time in response to these events that were unfolding in our country. So the fact that she did this is bananas, right? So if the story is sounding too heavy for you, hang on, because at the center of this book is Tookie's romance and her marriage to a man named Pollux, P-O-L-L-U-X. And Pollux is her like unbelievably sweet husband who happens to be one of the most compassionate, like empathetic men that I've encountered really in any novel that I've read. Like, I love Pollux. So their relationship, I feel, is like the beating heart of this novel. And I continue to think about them like long after I finished the book. I read it last fall and I still think about Tookie and Pollux and their amazing story and navigating that really big year that we all had to navigate. So yeah. Excellent story.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Like, that's like, that's a truly pandemic history. Like, remember where we were that year.
Yeah, and I feel like the pandemic is almost giving rise to this new genre of like pandemic fiction. Because I've read a number of novels now that do like directly reference the pandemic and how the characters got through that time. And I think that's really interesting to see the art and the creativity that have sprung from such a stressful experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Switching gears entirely. Yeah. No more pandemic here. We're going to move on. The last book I want to talk about is This Time Tomorrow by Emma Straub. So it is like fundamentally impossible not to love Emma Straub, in my opinion. She is the red lipstick wearing author and the owner of Books Are Magic in Brooklyn, which I think is probably one of the best known indie bookstores in the United States. So Straub herself is delightful and her books are delightful too. They're like witty, warm-hearted, fun. And she presents these main characters who are like super messy and vulnerable. And they're easily recognizable to us as readers because they are us. I think everyone who reads her books can see themselves reflected in these characters that she creates. And I think in particular, fans of romance are really going to love her newest book, This Time Tomorrow. So This Time Tomorrow jumps between present day and 1996. So Alice is the main character and she's turning 40. And suddenly she finds herself in an alarming, but not unpleasant, time traveling situation. I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about time traveling because it's such a trope, but it works with Emma Straub. So why is Alice back in high school again? That's sort of the central question here. So maybe it's to set things right with her dad, who is now gravely ill, or maybe it's to change the trajectory of a love gone wrong with her high school crush. So either way, Alice's adventure is like funny and juicy, and it's so deeply heartfelt. And I think it'll really get you thinking about your own 16-year-old self and how she grew into the woman that is you today.
I really need to add this to the TBR. You had me in 1996.
I know.
Right? 1996. I was a freshman in high school.
It's her sense of time.
Yeah.
And place also. It takes place in Brooklyn, I believe, like somewhere out in New York.
Yeah.
She just nails that sense of time and place. She does such a good job.
Oh. And I've been to Books Are Magic quite a few times. It's actually, it's a little out of the way where I used to live in New York, but it's such a cute town. Like, it's a cute neighborhood part of Brooklyn. Like, there's, like, restaurants, like, cute stores. And it's, like, they have the wall. There's, like, Books Are Magic. And it's just, like, it's, like, a perfect outing. If you're venturing to Brooklyn, that's a perfect Brooklyn independent bookstore that you can just hang out on the street and do other things, too. You know.
I always wanted to go there. I haven't been there yet, but it's on my bucket list. I would love to support her business because she is such a wonderful cheerleader for authors and also for indie bookshops. I mean, she is like walking the walk and talking the talk, and she's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What are you currently reading?
Okay. So I'm currently, well, let me talk about what I just literally just finished, because that's the book that's like really on my mind right now. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners will have already probably heard of this book or seen this book. And I just wanted to talk about it briefly because it's gotten a lot of coverage. So it's called Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garmus. And I'm so excited to talk about this one because it's Garmus's debut novel and she's in her 60s. So I love that off the bat. I'm like, okay, Bonnie Garmus is a total badass. Like, amen to her for following her dreams. She is incredible. So another reminder that it's never too late for us, right? So Lessons in Chemistry is about a chemist named Elizabeth Zott, Z-O-T-T. And she's working as a chemist in the late 1950s, or she's trying to anyway. But as you can imagine, it's not easy in her very male-dominated field. To say the least, she faces immense sexism and misogyny. So, of course, her story is sobering, but it's also like this incredibly spirited and sparkling story. It's like this reminder of all the obstacles that we as women have faced in the last 50 years alone and how far we've come. So right there, like I was like, yes, I love this. So I think there's so much heart to this book. And there's also this unexpected romance. Which is like so different than any other romance I've come across. It's really unique. Elizabeth and her lover are so different, and they will steal your heart. But there's also, on top of that, Elizabeth's love of her child and of her dog and of her dear friends. And above all, it's like the celebration of women supporting women, which I am 100% behind. So in a word, Lessons in Chemistry is delightful. And like many of the books I've talked about today, I think it is so deserving of the praise that it has gotten. I think it really has touched a lot of women, and I can see why.
Thank you for sharing about this book, because I keep seeing it. I think it was like Barnes & Noble's picked, and it was like, it got a lot of promotion. And so I've seen it everywhere. I just haven't even looked at it. I was like, what is it all about?
That's what it's about. That's what it, yeah. It's delightful. I had kind of resisted reading it myself because I think sometimes I sort of don't always gravitate towards the books that like everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
And so this was sort of a stretch for me. And then I'm like, why didn't I read this sooner? It was like immensely satisfying. Again, like I think every book I've mentioned today, when I got to the end of it, I was sad to say goodbye to the characters.
Yeah. This is a good, this is a sign of a good book. So
it is. So I stand by all the books I've talked about today because the characters really are everything, and they have such heart and such soul, and it's hard to like bid farewell to them when you close the book. That is the sign of a great read, I think.
That is a sign of a great read. So Laura, tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me online on Instagram at Laura at the library, and there are underscores between each of the words, Laura at the library. And I'm on Facebook at Laura Ann, A-N-N-E, Merritt, which is my maiden name, M-E-R-R-I-T-T, Bird, B-I-R-D. And I also have my website, I should say that too, is laurabirdbooks.com. So you can find me there and yeah, reach out, say hi. I love to connect.
Thank you, Laura, for being the show.
Thank you, Laura, for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading to your busy life. Listen with the free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on Libro.fm for the price of one with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.